painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking, KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
On this episode of Artbeat, we head back to Frozen River Film Festival in downtown Winona with a visit from director Jeff Johnson. He'll share with us details about the Cloud Cult album, The Seeker, which is also a movie. There is no dialogue at any point during the film, other than what comes from the lyrics. The story centers on Grace, a daughter whose perfect life is changed forever by tragedy. Her mental well-being is challenged throughout her journey in the piece and follows her on an exploration that will help her with her self-identity. Jeff visits with us on how a narrative was developed and the intense emotional character development and care that went into the piece.
Especially in one scene where she sort of has a breakdown, she actually asked me in advance, "Will you please protect this time and also be selective about who's on set?"
Keep listening to learn how an album becomes a film on Artbeat. I'm with Jeff Johnson, and you're here at Frozen River Film Festival with not a documentary, with a video spawned from music to tell a story. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so The Seeker is a 63-minute narrative that is basically a response. The album was written first. The Cloud Cult album was written first, but it wasn't completely written. It was like 70% written. And then I have a longer relationship with Craig Manoa, the lead songwriter from Cloud Cult, and so we've kind of decided that this album could be a movie. And long story short, we basically made one one piece informed the other a little bit. So yeah.
You don't say, "I'm just going to go ahead and make a movie." So I'm sure it was a learning experience for you. Can you tell me how you first started getting the ball rolling with developing the narrative for it?
So Craig had a story in mind out of the gate. And so he handed me, the funny thing is we're in Winona right now, of course. And the first meeting we ever had was at a coffee shop just down the road in something like early May of 2015. And at that point, he had a few songs written, and he had kind of a page-and-a-half story summary that he kind of just vented about, and he had some other stuff that he wanted that was metaphorical in nature and all that stuff that he wanted included. And so we talked about budget. We had a great budget, unless you were making a feature film. His idea was we were going to use the band as talent in it, and we were going to use... like filming at his house, and it was going to be great. You know, it very much changed from that point. But from there, we went into like a screenwriting process, and myself, Chad Amore, and Craig all did the screenwriting together. Which, because there's only really one word besides song lyrics in the entire movie, used a lot of adjectives. So,
so that's kind of a challenge in itself. I don't know how you would even describe creating something like that, but you have three cooks in the kitchen, right? So how did you hear each other out?
Yeah, so Chad, who also was a co-DP with me and helped produce it, and he's just kind of a creative partner across the board. I've been friends with him for something like 16 or 17 years, so we can really kind of yell at each other and still be friends at the end of it. And similar situation with Craig, but the nice thing about Craig is he's not a filmmaker, and so Chad and I could go away and do the things that we felt the movie needed, and then we could bring it back to Craig, and he could sort of keep his vision intact the way he wanted.
Yeah, there's a careful balance there, too. That balance is also tested once you get into the editing process. How did you handle that, where you were making calls as to what is included and what isn't?
So we had, we had a few scenes that ended up on the cutting room floor, of course, as they all do. But really, at that point, because it was so scripted to the music, it was more about figuring out how to put things in certain spots than it was about drastically cutting things down or removing pieces because it was subservient to a music record. And so, you know, there are some scenes in the movie without music and things like that, but not a lot. And because of that, it was just a matter of trying to understand tempo. And if this is the construct, you're sort of given an arc with the music and to try and highlight what parts of, you know, and each song is sort of a three chapter, you know, a three story arc, you know. And so figuring out how to give the audience a rest, how to sort of like pull back from the music for a little bit. It was interesting and it was cool, and you'd try and get enough voices in there. Josh Radner, who also starred in it and also executive produced it, he was also a good voice in that editing process. He was really helpful in terms of tempo and adding a different voice to that process, yeah.
Well, that's important, and I was hoping you were going to speak to that because a lot of people edit to sound. They're always looking at what's the driving undertone to move me from point A to point B. And for me, that's always been music at the beginning or the end of the clip to lead in. At the same time, you mentioned not wearing the audience out, and that always comes in the order of which your songs are presented, right? Because you can go from high energy to low energy, or it can feel like it's completely all over the place. So I'm sure that's something you also had to be like, is this album going to fit? Is this going to work? And I can imagine that being frustrating from time to time.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't super frustrating. I think the cool thing is that we had a lot of folks in it who were pretty willing to put their idea of the thing aside for the sake of something greater. You just had to sort of sell it up,
right,
whoever you were, in the process. And so, for instance, in the movie, you know, about a third of the way through, there's a plot twist. But before that, we needed more character development, and we didn't have a song enough of time to do what we needed to do. So I came back to Craig and said, hey, we needed, there's this camping trip the father and the daughter go on, which is pretty key to the story. And when we were doing the screenwriting and kind of imagining the whole thing, I said, Craig, I need something here that is just about the dad and the daughter and getting some time together. And we talked for a while. And one of the stories I told him was that I remember a couple summers ago, I would go golfing with my grandpa and my dad and myself. They're like something crazy early in the morning, 6:30, which meant I had to wake up early and all this stuff. But we'd go golfing, and I remember we'd be sitting on the golf course, and you'd have this sort of like moment where you'd realize the value of that three-generation kind of moment. And just trying to like snapshot it. And now my grandpa passed away about a year and some change ago. And because you are able to be present in that moment, you feel like good feelings about those memories. And that was the spirit I sort of directed him on writing the song. And he goes, okay. And then he, within 24 hours, he tossed back this really beautiful piece that also captured that spirit that would then inform the screenwriting really well. And so it was this really cool thing where we're able to be really collaborative in it to patch what we both felt was like a hole in the story and hopefully come out with something better.
Excellent. What was it like for your talent to work with something that wasn't quite a traditional narrative?
Yeah, I've gotten to do a few interviews and chats with Josh since then, and the thing that he said he loved in particular about it was that that as an actor, and I'm not an actor, but as an actor, he was able to concentrate on some of the more subtle maneuvers of being an actor. That's also what Amanda and Alex have said. Alex is the real lead of the movie, and for her, Grace is the main character, and she's the adult version of that character. And for her, she has all this personal fodder in her for that resonates with this character. She's had loss in her life. She's had way more than a person should. And she just had brought her own experience into it. And because there isn't the sort of the box that she could put her own experience in was very wide. And so what we would do is just go on walks and talk about what my spirit was for this scene. And then she'd talk about her life experience, and we'd sort of like ask questions of each other and talk it out. And with a situation where she could be fully kind of her plugging her own experience into this character, which I think ended up with a really cool result.
very Stanislavski type method, actually, is immersing yourself into a past experience that you can pull into your character, which can kind of be a little bit overwhelming for some people, yeah. But therapeutic for others.
Yeah, she especially in one scene where she sort of has a breakdown. I mean, she actually asked me in advance, was like, "Will you please protect this time, and also be selective about who's on set that day?" And it was just me and the DP, and we kicked the audio guys out and like put some mics in some random places and just kind of let her emote on screen as she needed to, which was cool. It was an honor to be a part of that.
Aesthetically, did you get the film to look the way you wanted it to?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I think anything creative, you could always tinker for 1,000 years, but within reality, I think, yeah, I felt really good. We spent a lot of time trying to craft a grade and trying to craft metaphorical elements in onset framing the way we really wanted to. And so I'm really happy with the cinematography side of the movie. And then the post-production side, sure, anytime you do post-production on a more indie film, there's a little bit of troubleshooting that you have to kind of get around. But really, I'm pretty happy with the quality of it in the end, yeah.
What are you hoping people internalize from this? Music's personal, too, yeah. So...
My sort of general philosophy is, as a creative of anything, is that I want to create a space for the audience to insert themselves into whatever story it is. And so... my hope is that whoever somebody watches it is asking, like, well, this is what this means to me, but what did you mean? Or, you know, and I love it when an audience, especially because there is so much room in this movie, because there's not a lot of dialogue. There's not a lot of for sure answers to some of the questions that are presented in the movie itself. And so my hope for it is that somebody goes inward in a cool way because of the movie, even if they weren't expecting to. Yeah.
I remember an interview in the 90s with Steven Tyler, right? And he said, "I hate doing music videos because it forces a story on someone and I want them to internalize that." Can you relate?
Sure, yeah. So one of the things we tried to do, and we did on purpose, was release the album in advance of the movie so that people could have their own experience with the music. And I think that is super important. I also think that what we tried to do with the... So Cloud Cult in general, in the loosest sense of the word, is a very spiritual band. Very sort of ecumenically that way, sort of big questions of life. But because of that, to sort of stay, for lack of a better term, like on brand, you know, I wanted to create something that would maybe interpret the music, but also just kind of take people on a journey along with the music. So people could still have their experiences with the album separate of the movie, but maybe the movie would inform their musical experience, but also it would just inform kind of their life, to be honest with you, a little bit, you know, in that way. And so I hope it was like kind of a companion
right.
to it that wasn't just an interpretation of it exactly. So that's what we tried to do.
What's next for y'all?
Well, for Cloud Cult, as far as the movie goes, we're doing a national theater sort of campaign right now through February and March of 2017. And then there are some things in the works to try and perform the score live while the movie is going on in a select few markets, because the logistics of that is a lot. At this point, we've done a lot of the film festival circuit for quite a while. We've been blessed to be asked at a few spots, so that's kind of wrapping up. I go to Sedona Film Festival next week, and I think that's the last one. Then we'll go to VOD after that and hope just want people to check it out and see it as they can. After that, I know Cloud Cult is doing some... always in the works on new music and new projects. I'm really excited. They're already looking to 2018 with some really crazy ideas I can't really talk about right now, but it's really exciting. For me, I own a production company. I do a lot of short-form docs for nonprofits in Minneapolis and stuff like that. But besides that, working on some smaller projects in Minneapolis to try and reflect some goodness there. Just concentrate at home for a bit. And then I also have two infant twins at home, so that's its own project.
Yeah. Under construction, so to speak. What is it that you love about your field?
About filmmaking?
Mm-hmm.
So my first love is actually probably not filmmaking, it's music. That was my sort of first art love. If music is sort of, to me, it's sort of a mystic art form in a lot of ways. It's so open to interpretation. It's so hard to nail down in certain ways. It's such a language that speaks beyond, you know. But if that's the case with music, I would say filmmaking is this wonderfully three-dimensional discipline. You know, it's a really, it really has this ability to be so immersive. I really love that. I love that part of it. I love how deep and wide you can go into a person's story. I love how open an interpretation you can still leave certain things, and at points you can really sort of draw out certain elements. It's a really powerful medium. And when I first started doing it, I was super overwhelmed because I realized all the choices you made in how you frame a shot and how you did the edit, how you did your sound design, how you did everything about it, and how that influenced a perspective. And especially with a movie like this, that's pretty out there in terms mm-hmm. of like concept, and it's a little slightly impressionistic in certain ways.
That's a good way, yeah.
It sort of allows you the space to do that, and so that's been also a fun journey to sort of take your hands off the reins a little bit, you know.
What's your favorite part of the production, post-production process? Like, everybody's got their one thing mm-hmm. that, yeah.
It was a co-DP effort on this movie. Both Chad and I grabbed the camera a ton. Both of us bring complementary but different styles to it. And I've done a bunch of projects with him. So probably the photography part of it is probably one of my first loves. After that, I have this love-hate relationship with editing where the first part of it I just detest. But when the last half or third of it is just magic. And so it's one of these things where it's like, every time I edit, it's like if you haven't gone for a run for a super long time or something like that, and you're like, this is so painful. Oh my gosh. But then you get done with it and you're just like, oh my, why don't I do this every single day? I feel so great, you know? That is how I feel about editing. So it's probably those two.
If people want to find out more information about you, where should they go?
About me and my production company is motion117.com, motion117 productions. Cloudcult.com is the band, and the movie is theseekerfilm.com.
Thanks again to director Jeff Johnson for visiting with us about filmmaking and Cloud Cult's new movie and album, The Seeker. More information on The Seeker can be found at www.cloudcult.com/the-seeker. Another thank you goes out to all who made Frozen River Film Festival possible in Winona. More information on the Frozen River Film Festival can be found at frff.org. I'm Terry Tensett, thanking you for listening to ArtBeat.
ArtBeat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.